I didn't know this was going to be a comeback presentation, but I'll do it, you know, just go with it. All right, flashback. Close your eyes. Who can remember the Terminator? Right? You remember the Terminator? The Terminator would walk into a room and he would look at someone and he just wouldn't see flesh and blood, right? He'd see the readout of that person. He'd see the makeup. And whenever he was looking for somebody, he'd just scan the room and get all this information about the person he's looking at, right? Imagine you could do that with partners. Imagine you could look at a partner and you could look at other partners like them and you can make decisions about what that partner is and how to activate them. Welcome to artificial intelligence and machine learning. Right up front, let me set the stage. First and foremost, let's give some definitions, right? How many of you remember the first passing of artificial intelligence, right? When it was really out there and people were starting to look at it, it was quite a bit ago. Artificial intelligence was really about mimicking the way the brain works, right? Getting computers to think like people. And now, with big data, we have the opportunity to apply that artificial intelligence to loads of data. What if we did that to a channel program? What if we could apply machine learning to a channel program and start making decisions about what works and what doesn't work and what's likely to happen in the future? First and foremost, my name is Laz Gonzalez, as Terry mentioned, and I have a unique vision about how all this should work. First and foremost, in order to really leverage or harness the power that I'm talking about, you need to have everything under one roof, right? You can't have silos that really separate the different functions in your program. And our vision at Ziff Solution is to really have that comprehensive look. But the reality is that it's not like that out there. In fact, when you look at all the different applications that are running in a particular channel program, you'll see one application for partner relationship management, another one for marketing, another one for incentives, another one for learning. By the end of the day, you've got 5 or 6 different applications. Raise your hand if you work within a channel program, right? Do you want to go to bat 5 times to get approval for new tools for your partners, right? It doesn't work. In fact, what it leads to is this, what we call the channel tech Frankenstein, where different parts of the beast represent the tools you give to partners, whether it's the learning in the brain, the heart, the PRM, the legs that give it the velocity that it needs to create new demand in the channel marketing. At the end of the day, most of the companies out there create one of these. Let me see the other hand if you've got one of these. Everybody's kind of, that's right. And you know what this leads to? This leads to unhappy partners. And unhappy partners will revolt. They will not use your tools if they feel that you're making them go through these kinds of hurdles to access simple tools that they would actually, you know, manage their day. So what I'm going to share with you today is how we apply this vision specifically in the areas of machine learning and introduce to you this broader concept of what that channel infrastructure needs to look like. And I would start that what we call this rainbow is really the end-to-end functionality of your program, where you're assessing partners, you're recruiting them into your program, you're sitting down with them to plan, you recruit, you then create demand with them in the generate stage, then you transact. And it's that transaction stage where we want to look past just the static data and start making some decisions about what's likely to happen. So today, if I wasn't up here talking to you about AI and machine learning, you probably would have already worked with some metrics and KPIs, both leading and lagging indicators of what just happened, what might happen next. You're probably using scorecards and dashboards to make some decisions about the data, right? And some of you might have already taken that first step towards predictive modeling. You know, what's happening over here is likely to happen over there if I could put the right factors together, right? When you start thinking about AI and machine learning, now you can see those metrics in cross-functional parts of your program. So you're just not looking at training. You're just not looking at opportunities. You're looking at the impact of training on opportunities. You can also start thinking about what's likely to happen next, not by putting combinations together like propensity would do, but by looking at historical data and future data and being able to correlate all of that and say, that's the right approach. A good example is when you get into predictive modeling, you can say, which opportunities are likely to close next? See, that's the opportunity for us here to really look at where suppliers are and what they could do to really reap the benefits of all this. Now, where do we get this information from? At Zift Solutions, we have this process called an assessment process, right? And whenever we meet a customer, we go through this assessment with them. And we ask them to fill out a simple spreadsheet. But what's really cool about this is that it creates a scorecard in itself. And the scorecard allows us to take a deep dive into their program and point out some gaps. What I'm going to do is I'm going to use the assessment to give you a feel for the current state of data in programs today, and then see how we can bridge that gap and move into more exciting things like machine learning. So using the assessment, we're going to look at these three areas where I think machine learning can have a real impact. The first one is partner onboarding. So taking specific steps to really optimize that onboarding process and reduce the time to market. Also, partner demand gen, and that's to drive effectiveness in campaigns, something you're all here to learn about, right? And then partner planning. So looking at what other partners are doing and trying to see how could that impact our partners or partners that aren't doing as well as those. Now, the assessment will actually show us that suppliers really are having trouble between leading and lagging metrics, right? That's still a big problem. How many people went to training versus how much revenue that partner brought in last month, right? The latter is pretty much a finish line result. They're also looking at reporting that doesn't really try to close the loop. Closing the loop is so important. Being able to see if I run this type of campaign, I'm likely to see this kind of output. And as I said before, without an integrated technology stack, you're not going to be able to do this. It's going to be really hard unless you have, you know, super fantastic integrators on board in your own company that can do this. Okay, so when we look at the deep dive and we take a look, for example, at sales, it's pretty clear to us that scorecards is one of those areas where there's large gaps. This is a radar chart that we use in that assessment where the inner line is their capabilities and the outer line is their goals. And you can see the questions we ask around these topics, partner scorecards is one of those areas where they fall short. And they say, we have no dashboards or scorecards used to track partner performance or revenue. It's really hard for us. When we look at marketing, we could see that it's closed loop reporting and some of the marketing metrics aren't there either. And they'll say things like, we need to get better at this. We need to know what we can invest in to drive the biggest bang for the buck. So what can you do? If the story is so bleak and the current state means that folks aren't using scorecards, what could you possibly do? I'm going to give you two examples of how machine learning can really impact your channel program. The first one is around opportunities, because this is where everybody wants to go right away, around opportunities. And the first thing I'll know is when a partner account manager is looking at opportunities in the channel, or that actual salesperson within the partner organization is looking at them, there's three decisions that they normally make. Take it from me, I was one of these guys at one point in my life, right? The first one is, I'm going to take credit for the deals that I know will close, right? We don't want to go there, because we know they're going to close. I hated to lose. So I used to go and take a look at those deals that weren't likely to close to give them some push, because I hated to lose. But that's not going to work either. The one that actually will work are the ones that I know less about. So those deals, I need to look at other deals like them and try to see what can happen here. So imagine you're that partner account manager, and now you're looking at that pipeline, and you're calling your partners. What do you talk to them about? What's going on? What's likely to close? How can we hit our number? What if you pulled up that pipeline report and said, hey, these deals, I know they're safe. We're going to leave those alone. And these guys down here, I don't want to talk to them until next quarter, right? But these deals here, I want to look at those deals. And I want to see what patterns those deals are following. Is there anything in my historical data that shows me similar execution? So now I'll look at those deals and I'll search through 3 years of transactional data. And I will now find what that marketing journey was that pushed that deal to that point, right? So now what I would like to do is searching through that data is find out other deals like those. What else did they do? Did they send an email? And did that increase the percentage of conversion by 5 to 7%? And then after that, did they reach out to the prospect and invite them into a valuable webcast or webinar? And did that also increase it by 10 to 15%? See, if I take this approach, now I can zero in on deals that were like the ones that I didn't know anything about and push them to close. And I could come back and instead of having that conversation with the channel manager about, hey, which deals do you need my help with? I can actually tell them, look, these are deals that actually show some activity on our website that I want to tell you about. And I want to send you that report so that you can go right after them. Does it make sense? See, this is a really heady subject. And you have to think about it from, you know, the channel perspective as to how can I practically apply this? Another area is around partner enablement. And you just heard Maria talk to you about all the best practices in partner enablement. And there are good things and there are bad things that companies do. I've always been a big fan of asking yourself the question, how much training is too much training, right? Because we can go hog wild on training. How many of you fund training programs for your partners, right? Don't these things kind of spin out of control sometimes? All right, I'm going to look at training and seeing how I could apply machine learning into partner enablement. And first of all, I want to give you a feel for the current state. Now, the current state around partner enablement, it's not as bleak, but I see that companies still struggle, okay, with delivering the courses to the partners. And we've all heard about availability, making it available to them on their cell phones, making it available to them wherever they are. Availability is still a problem, and so are the rollout of learning management platforms for partners. Now, don't get me wrong. Companies have learning management tools. They create courses on them. But those tools rarely connect to their channel program so that if a partner takes a training, he goes up in the program and gets greater benefits, for example, margin, right? That's how programs are supposed to work. And companies are still struggling with this. And you could see that by the gap in the capabilities versus their goal from the assessment. No scalable learning via automation, especially in that onboarding process where it falls on the PAMs. And this is the kind of stuff that we learn through this assessment. So again, the starting point is pretty low when we start thinking about using machine learning. But we could start thinking about how learning could impact productivity. See, one question I have is how effective are the onboarding programs? Are they taking too long? Are they going just the right pace? Are enough partners participating in them? Another one is, how can we decrease the time to revenue? See, this is one of those metrics that will not leave you alone. Time to revenue. How long does it take us to get that partner to the second deal, right? It's really important. But the question I like is the question about that training. How much training is too much training? What are the right learning paths? Not everything we have, but the ones the most successful partners take to generate the fastest and largest amount of revenue. That's a great question, right? Questions that we couldn't answer a couple of years ago in the channel. So let me paint the picture for you. Imagine you have three different types of persona in the channel. Just like Maria said, don't look at them all through the same lens, right? And your tech person is likely to take the training path for product. And there they're going to take 5 different modules and it takes 3 weeks. Now you've got your marketing team and your marketing team is going to take 3 modules and it's going to take a little less time. And your salesperson, again, because you want them out there selling, not in their classroom taking training, they're going to take less, but it needs to be really effective, right? So when we look at this, we can build a training program and we can see what's most effective per type of individual, but that's not really the question we want to ask, right? Question I want to ask the most successful partners, what training did they take? How did they get to revenue so quickly? And this is where I think that machine learning could actually really work. So I can say, this individual who's clearly a rainmaker goes in here and takes product 101 and configuration options because he has to have a meaningful conversation with the buyer. Then when it gets to marketing, we're not going to make him an expert marketer. When a partner has multiple relationships with other suppliers, why is it your job to make them an expert marketer? What you really want is to have them execute your marketing plays. And if they happen to pick up some skills along the way, that's okay too, right? But we want them to just execute marketing plays, and that's what this individual does. And then there are two types of trainings that really work for this individual. Number one is social selling for inbound, and the other one is solution selling because, you know, the types of products that they sell require this. So now I look at this individual and I say, boy, that, you know, that's five courses versus all the things that we were making them do. Is that the quickest path to revenue? Well, then again, now I go look at my data and I look at all the training that's going on there. I'm looking at different companies. I'm looking at the revenue that they're posting and I'm looking at the different training courses that each one of them took. And when I look at that, I could sense a pattern. I could sense companies are taking certain courses and getting certain results. Now, I could quickly say, let's look at the one that got us there faster. So this deal here took 15 days to drive 31K. But that's not that exciting, right? Maybe this one's more exciting. 50 days to drive 225,000. That's taking a little bit too long. My sweet spot is this one. Datalink Corporation, 30 days to drive 121K. Let's go find out what training they took, right? And so by doing that, I have a pattern. And I could see that they took very similar courses to that rainmaker that we just talked about. And when I look at that, I could set my wheels in motion and I could look at my data and I see I've got 35 other matches just like that. So the shortest path to revenue is this. And I validated that, not just by looking at one instance of excellence, but looking through my database using machine learning to figure out who's actually taking less training and making more of a difference. Okay? All right. So some of you are saying, ooh, I can do that in my channel program? You can. But there are some table stakes. There are some things that you are going to need to invest in. Time, resources, technology. From our perspective as a vendor, we think it takes three things. Number one, you got to have a lot of data, right? We counted over the last 15 or so years, got about 3 billion data transactions on our platform right now. So we're able to look both backwards and forward. That data is really important because it tells us opportunities, training, incentives, all the things that are happening on there. And remember, it's all tied together. The other thing you got to have is some type of expertise to know that what you do with an OEM is different than what you do with a distributor. Now, if you paid attention to the previous session, you would have gotten this, right? You can't take a one-size-fits-all with them, and we understand that. And then third, you also have to know the differences between channel programs themselves. I mean, the program that Blackbaud, a software provider for nonprofit, runs versus Caterpillar, who you all know as a manufacturing behemoth, versus Cisco, maybe the largest channel program in terms of partners and benefits out there, it's really different. So with this expertise, we're able to now move in this direction, but we want to bring you along with us. And by doing that, I just want to be upfront with what it's going to take from your perspective, from a supplier's perspective, to get into machine learning and artificial intelligence. First of all, why you're all here is because the greatest impact is going to be on your campaign effectiveness. If you know what's likely to happen before you run a campaign, you're going to maybe run that differently if it's going to get better results. So that's the biggest area of impact, and it's about engaged partners, it's top-line revenue. Now, this isn't easy, right? You can see the scope of effort is medium. It's not low, and that's why the adoption is low. But it's time now to do something about it. And if you're starting to think about machine learning, the first thing I want you to look at is the difference of those KPIs versus those leading indicators. Really start getting your hands and start thinking about what if, not just snapshots of the data. The second thing that we find is really important is partner achievements. Now, partner achievements is a way of rewarding partners and seeing every time they cross some of those thresholds. Now, this goes hands in hand with partner groups. These are two levels of functionality that I would suggest you challenge your current vendors and ask them, hey, what are you doing in these areas? Because I want to move into machine learning. Partner groups allows you to group those partners like we just did with those enablement partners, the partners that were able to drive revenue within this time period or the ones that drove this much revenue. That's a grouping of partners and it's key to the reporting of all of this. And then the last piece is you have to have an integrated platform, especially from the marketing and the PRM side, so that you have some of that PRM data flowing into your marketing so that you know you could really aim your marketing cannon at the right prospects, set, deliver the right message, and so on. So again, this is for demand generation and some table stakes. Now, at Zift, we've kind of created some offerings to follow up with this. And I think the key one here is really Zift Data and Zift Concierge, because you need some help, whether you have your own in-house concierge function, to kind of enlist those partners and not take that build it and they will come approach. For partner enablement, what are some of the table stakes? Well, first of all, the greatest area of impact is going to be around engagement. Because remember, enablement is a leading indicator to the rest of the things that you have that partner do. So if they're not taking good training, they're not showing up for your courses, they're likely not to take you up on the marketing. And if you're smart about it, you want to give them the offer right on the heels of one activity to the next. So that being said, it's going to have an impact on engagement and it's going to have an impact on deal frequency. How fast do these guys respond to customers? How well trained are they? Now, the scope of effort here is very low, although the adoption is low. And that's because I think we're looking at enablement as training and just trying to get it through and get it out the door. We have to look at PAM enablement first. The partner account managers need to know how to have these meaningful conversations with their partners. And when I look at some of those assessments, I see that we have these great ideas for the partners, but we're not training our partner account managers to do the right thing. Also, the training landscape. You notice that before I was showing you product, I was showing you sales, I was showing you marketing. You have to broaden your training landscape. And in some cases, it might make sense to teach a little bit of marketing to that salesperson. Also, think about that onboarding process as one of the key areas where you can make a difference, especially in those first 90 to 120 days. And last but not least, you got to have training management, not just the LMS piece of it, which is around creating the content and so on. Training management is tying these different enablement steps to tiers in your program and being able to stitch that together to create the right behaviors. Now, I know this isn't easy. You're not alone in doing it. I think, you know, any vendor out there that's giving you learning or academy options where you can actually create your own academies for partners is taking you halfway there. And if you want to know more about that, please. We've got some guys waving flags in the back. It's just three things I want you to think about, right, after this session. First of all, machine learning is not scary, right? There's some real practical examples of how it can be used in channel programs. I think right now, any one of you can walk out there and explain that to the rest of the world, right? So the first thing is break the data silos. Make sure that you don't put impediments in the way that don't allow you to see across your program. Some of you might try to do this with integration. Some of you might look at a platform like ours, but you've got to break the data silos or else the data won't flow through the program. Start with just creating scorecards on your partners. Get sales and marketing to agree on what one of those scorecards looks like. Don't create your own and not share it with the other side of the house. And last but not least, don't be afraid to close the loop on the data, right? We should demand that we can get results in terms of leads and opportunities from marketing campaigns that we create. So we can all talk about what work we're doing in the channel and how we're using that to benefit the pipeline for sales and the rest of the organization. Three simple things I just want you to remember. I really appreciate you sitting through this session. I know some of you might have said, well, I don't know if I'm ready for that one, but I think you are. Marketing is becoming more and more quantifiable, and it's about time that it's in the channel in ways that really might blow the lid over what they're doing on the direct side of the house. Okay? Thank you so much. I really appreciate it.